Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead Radio. And with me today is our leading lady, the lovely leading lady, Lindis Fernandez-Brinkord, who is the Senior Vice President of Investments from Trilogy Financial Services. I'm loving this because I think any of our listeners today will love our topic. It's going to be one we're going to pull back the layers on. But our topic today is Grow on Them Like Fungus, Perseverance Gives Rise to Leadership. Lindis, welcome aboard, and we're going to talk about fungus today. Is that right?
Yes, and thank you for having me.
I love your topic, and I have to tell all of our listeners, we are talking to Lindis today because she was one of our original Sue Talk presenters that we got done launching in October, and the Sue Talks are to rival those other talks out there, and so Lindis was one of our lovely Sue Talk presenters that chose something under the idea of what her leadership journey was. And so my first question to you, Lindis, you know, what was it like giving a Sue Talk? I got to say, what was the experience like to think that here we're doing this incredible event and it's like you were asked to prepare a Sue Talk? What was that like?
Well, at first, I mean, just the preparation of it, I don't even know what led me to do it. But I felt like it would be a really good point of reflection for where I have come from and where I am now. And then when I started writing it, it just flowed. It flowed really naturally. And a lot of it was stuff I had not reflected upon in a very long time. But then actually giving the Sue Talk was terrifying.
You're up on the stage. And that's what, you know, I have to say. That's one of the things I love with so many of our Sue Talk presenters like you are real professional women doing real things in business. You know, you're not paid speakers, and yet you were bold and passionate and, you know, personal, and it was just your story. And so that's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. Well, first of all, you did a great job, awesome job. And we know we put you through the drill with that, and so thank you for that. But, you know, more than that, you know, what has been your journey and your leadership? Because I know you have just a very specific message of how, you know, perseverance has really given rise to where you've become a leader in business and in personal life. So what was a little bit a snippet of that story? It's like, where's the perseverance?
You know, I think the perseverance came from, I started in this industry when I was 22, right out of college. And, I know at 22 you think you're an adult and you're going to find your way, but there's so much that you have yet to be exposed to or learn that this story was a lot about that journey, about how I really became an adult, I guess, and, like, how I really accumulated life experience and how I like to say I was too dumb to fail. Because there's a lot of stuff you have to push through to succeed, specifically in this industry with winning clients. And when you're young and you want to manage money, that's a interesting thing to overcome.
Well, and you know, we also need to say it's like you're under. You're under 40 because I know you are, and you've won an award for that. And I know you're extremely assertive, you know, and you're very focused on what you want to do. But, you know, one of the things you talked about in your Sue Talk was how to channel a little bit of anger and how that really helped you focus. Not that I want everybody to take their anger, you know, and do something with it, but how did you channel into focusing and using some of the, I guess, adversity that you were dealing with? You know, how did you channel that and get focused, and how did that help you as a leader?
I'm not 100% certain what causes me to channel it in the way that I do, but for me, the anger really came from multiple roadblocks, and instead of seeing them as, oh, I guess I can't go down this road, I channeled it into determination, basically. Mm. So I say I channeled the anger, and which, when I wrote the script, I realized that there were really things that I was mad about, and I didn't stop and go, I'm mad about this, and sulk about it. I went, I'm mad about this, and I'm going to change it. And I channeled that towards the motivation to move beyond.
You know, it's interesting, because I think when you're in college, I mean, this is how it was for me. And, you know, again, I'm much, much wiser than you are because I'm older than you are. We'll just go with that. Please laugh on that one. I have very wise years now. And it's like you start out, you know, when you're in college, and I think this is for any of our listeners. You start out in college and you think, oh, my gosh, you know, the world is there for you to take. You got to work hard. You get it done. Things are going to go your way. And, you know, then life starts to have its little things that happen. And that's one of the things I loved most about your Sue talk was just how you talked about, you know, the circumstances don't make you, it's how you act on them, you know, and one of my favorite words in the whole world is perseverance, you know, and tell me, how did you equate perseverance with, you know, that's how it grows on you like fungus? Because I love the analogy of it. And if you can share with some of our listeners, what does that mean? Because I think everybody's wigging out over the word fungus, but how did you tie that in, and what does that mean with the perseverance part?
It's kind of funny because I understand that people don't look at fungus and think of it in a positive light. But I think what I meant is that, you know, once you have fungus growing on you, it's just, it's there. And in some cases, like, you cohabitate with it, which is also, I guess, kind of a really gross analogy. But what I realized was, you know, people would say, no, I'm not interested. And I would say, okay, great, I'll call back in 6 months and we'll see if you're interested then. And because of that perseverance, like, eventually I grew on them. And we used to joke around the office that I would grow on you like a fungus because eventually you just couldn't get rid of me. And it just became this joke. And that's why, and it was a really, it's a joke, but it was a really great example of how I just kept pushing through and something inside of me did that. And that's what led to the title of it is, back early on at 24, people around here in the office used to say you couldn't get rid of Windus when she started calling you. You just need to succumb to the fungus.
I must succumb to the fungus. And I know everyone's listening right now, listening to that and going, what? But, you know, there's a message there. And that's the part I love because, to me, you know, whatever you look at, I used to say I'm like a disease. You know, I don't go away unless you tell me to go away. But, you know, similar kind of thing. And I think for you, you know, the clear message is so many people just give up. You know, and they're like, okay, well, that didn't work or this isn't working. So, you know, tell me where did you find and channel that perseverance in you? I mean, what do you think it is? Just kind of, did you read a book? Do you feel it's just your innate nature? And give some wise words of inspiration to some of our listeners who might think about giving up on many fronts in business.
You know, I think it was my innate nature. So, like, I don't talk a lot about this because this is all pre-college, but my parents divorced when I was 17, and that's a really tough time for your parents to separate. And, you know, it went from being financially stable to a very destabilizing home environment and a lot of uncertainty with college. And so if I was going to go to college, I was going to have to make it happen. It wasn't going to just happen for me anymore. Like, I think I grew up believing. It was just the natural next step. And then in college, I was having to work 3 jobs to get through college. Meanwhile, I was at a great university who had a lot of children who had I went to USD. There were a lot of kids at USD who come from very, very supportive parent environments, who parents planned appropriately, whether or not they divorced or not. And so I had a lot of friends who maybe had it a little bit easier than me, but that didn't matter because that hard work and being there because I wanted to be there laid a really good foundation for determination. And I really do think in my story, the perseverance and determination are really one and the same. They very much go together.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, it is interesting with you because I think, again, you know, when you look at hardship happening or just things don't go according to plan, you know, what is it in you other than, I know you've got that, sounds like your internal drive is there. What would be maybe some tips that you would give for some other listeners that are thinking, oh, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm thinking this isn't working, or, you know, my favorite, the poor me, you know, none of us are escaped from circumstances.
The biggest
that
message, you know, you're absolutely right. The biggest message I have, and I don't know at what point in my life I really started to live this way. You have one life to live. We all believe in very different things spiritually, and no one gets to find out what is real until you're there, right? So you have to kind of take that you have this opportunity to live a fulfilled life. And if you sit there and you live one of, oh, I wish I could do that, but that door shut and woe is me, like that just isn't a life that I can wake up to every day. So for me, it's, you know, I had something happen this week where someone told me no, I didn't like it. I pushed really hard to change that. And then I realized actually that maybe the no was sending me down a path that might work out better. So sometimes the no isn't a bad thing. I have to say that. But if you are determined to make something happen, you need to make it happen. And then realize that, I guess my cousin likes to say that Windus is going to die trying. Like I'm going to, if I want it, that drive is going to kick in and I'm going to die trying. Like I'm not going to leave anything on the table. No regrets.
And I have to say, and fungus never dies. So that's what the analogy here is. That keeps growing and keeps growing. I love it.
Right.
One of the things I know you talked about in your Sue talk was that you said, you know, really you believe in women have in business should have paths that are slightly overgrown and grow like fungus. And I thought, oh, what a neat, you know, again, not the great visual on fungus, but the idea that it's like, you know, what do you mean by that when you say the path should be slightly overgrown and grow like
fungus? Okay, everyone wants this, like, clear
business
picture, like the you know, what is it, the 2.5 kids, the white picket fence, you know, and I'm making generalizations here, but everyone wants things to be clear and easy to understand and everything to go just as they planned. Things never go just as you planned. The overgrown path that you have to push through is kind of part of the journey, and it helps get you there. You learn from it. So the way I envisioned my path was, you know, like I tell in my Sue talk, you know, I got married, which was amazing. I was so excited. And then right after we got married, things kind of went sideways in our family lives, you know, sick family members, things that, you know, kind of took away from that joy of getting married. But it was a part of the path, and it's okay because it made for, we have a stronger marriage because of that. So you have to say, you have to understand that just because things on the path aren't as you had originally planned and it's overgrown a little bit, it doesn't mean that it's still not that great path you wanted and envisioned.
I love it. I have a new visual now for fungus. I don't see it as a bad thing. It's it's all good.
Definitely not.
It's all good. But, you know, let's switch over to what you do, because I know, you know, as a financial advisor and someone who, you know, deals with wealth management for your clients, it's like you probably see, I would say you see a lot of fungus, but let me put it that way. But, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, you see that are just so frustrating with your clients that maybe you help them overcome, you know, in looking at their financial future? Because I know you're so good at that. What are some of the, maybe a couple of things you can share
there? Yeah, no, absolutely. I see my role is really trying to understand what that client's pain point is, what's keeping them up at night, and then trying to help them see past it. So I have a great new client. She just came in, you know, divorced within the last 2 years, was a stay-at-home mom, was really taken aback by the divorce. The kids aren't even 100% out of college yet. And she had always given up control of things to her husband. And that's okay. He's taking care of her. It's not like he did her wrong in the divorce. But she doesn't have a vision of her path because she never had to manage this stuff for herself. So for me, my role is to try to ease the nervous energy and help her understand she can do this alone, and that although her future isn't as what she may have originally envisioned it, she's going to be fine financially. She just needs to now figure out what it is that she wants to do. So in many of my cases, I get to see where clients are in their life and help them better see their options, and then guide them through what we think will be best for them. So it's, you know, so many people are actually going to be okay financially, but they can't visualize it. They don't know what it is all that they have saved is going to give to them. So,
and that's what you help them do, am I right? So you kind of make it objective. And you know what's funny is I'm listening to your voice and just, you know, again, you and I aren't in front of each other, just so all of our listeners know, but I can very clearly hear in your voice that when you start talking about, you know, what you do with clients, the passion in your voice goes up about 10 levels. It's just funny. You know, I mean, you're very passionate about what you do, you know, and which is, I think, a key piece of it, but still loving what you do and making money, those two have to equal each other. Describe for me, you know, if you can, just because I know we're on the subject of perseverance, and I really like that, you know, what are, you know, again, with your clients and you, in your position, I mean, you've grown into someone who's a senior vice president of investments. You know, where did the perseverance for you come in with that? I mean, how did you channel your focus of starting out? There's lots of financial advisors, you know, I mean, for you at the young age that you are, we won't say your age, but again, you're under 40, and I find it amazing that you were at the position you are in the industry that you're in. It's like, what did you do there strategically that got you to where you are as a senior vice president of investments today? What are some of the key things you think you've done
in my career that led me here so young?
I think it was,
you know, when things weren't going well, I didn't kind of bury my head in the sand and shy away from work. So although things weren't necessarily always going well at home for health reasons, I didn't let that deter me, whereas a lot of people really do take time off. And there's nothing wrong with what you choose to do, but what got me here quickly was that I had to keep going both at home and at work and not take that time off. And, you know, that goes back to the perseverance. It was a very difficult thing to be able to balance, but because I did balance it, it helped my career continue to move forward. And I had setbacks. Again, I talk about that in the Sue Talks. You know, I missed promotions early on because things were a little unsteady. And missing those promotions in turn provided me with additional motivation to stay the course.
What would you share with some of our listeners that, you know, would be maybe a couple of suggestions that when they, you know, I think it is, it's like, you know, when the going gets tough, it's like, you know, the hard makes us great. I mean, perseverance is such a powerful word, and yet so many people get all kind of like up in their head going, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. It applies to all of us. You know, what would be a couple of tips that you would share with others of just, you know, hey, it's like when the going gets tough, here's a couple of things that you can do according to you.
Absolutely. Routine. You know, when the going gets tough, if you have a routine, something that helps hold you accountable, your body can get up and do that in the morning regardless of how challenging things are. So I think routine is really critical. Also, I work in a great supportive environment. I'm not on my own little island. And having that support around you is also helpful. So routine and support and being willing to hear messages from people even if you don't want to. So I think being willing to accept feedback even if that feedback makes you angry. So that it's coming from the right place. Like that feedback is trying to say, hey, hello, you're doing something. You need to stop and think about it. But sometimes that feedback makes you incredibly angry. So routine, support, and taking pause when someone's trying to tell you something.
That one's I want to bring out a couple that you said. The one where you said taking feedback. I mean, I knowing you, and for our listeners, you need to know when this. It's like, how did you learn to take feedback? What do you do? I mean, because I know it's hard for me to do that.
Not
I go
well.
Away. You know.
I still struggle with it. Because I'm a quick to temper person, which a lot of people don't see. But being quick to temper, I'm also quick to get over it. So there's this two-side component. And I have our regional vice president here, who is almost like the exact polar opposite of me. Like, he takes a long time to process things, whereas I process things really rapidly. And he's the one who will give me feedback. And because I know being quick to temper doesn't get anywhere anyway, like, he's really taught me how to be calmer and listen and be less defensive. Because I think, unfortunately, we're all defensive because we're all, you know, doing the best we can. So when someone gives us feedback that's critical, we feel like we have to defend where we're coming from. But that's not really necessarily the solution. The solution is to hear what they're saying and process it. And maybe you choose not to embrace what they're saying. But if you don't stop and hear what they're saying and process it, then you never get that opportunity. If you're always just defensive, you're missing the message.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point because I know I'm just saying you're preaching to the choir because I know I get there. You know, I think, oh, man, I'm doing it right. And then somebody will say something or just whatever. You know, you evaluate and they give you feedback and you're thinking that wasn't what I wanted to hear. But then I've also learned just to be able to go, what's the message here? You know, and I like where you say process it because just let it go. go back, think about it, you know, but always say thank you to someone for pointing out an area that maybe you don't agree with. I mean, that's the part I've learned
right.
is, ooh,
yeah.
you know.
We call it the Doug
really
stare. Like,
defend.
You say something to Doug
the
and he Doug just stares at you. The Doug stare. Like, it is almost hilarious. But if you just learned the Doug stare when someone says something that you don't like, instead of jumping like back with an answer, like then you can
right.
really stop and hear what they were trying to say and then decide if you're really going to accept that feedback.
I wish we could just have like a radio show just to talk about life lessons, because to me that's where I get inspired. You know, you can tell me all day long how to do something, but if you give me some of the things you've learned along the way, I think it's so powerful, and I thank you for some of the things you've been sharing. One other thing that I think you brought up, and that was, you know, again, going back to when the going gets tough, and for perseverance, it's like, you know, what are some of the key things you feel you've done, you know, business-wise and career-wise, that besides perseverance, which I think is such a big one, that have gotten you to where you are today? Because I think you're very, you know, there's very few of you in the industry that you fall in that are at the level you are. Am I correct?
Right.
Yes.
And I would say the answer to that is showing up. So it's not just perseverance, but it's showing up. Like, we have a lot of advisors who want to be more successful, but they don't have a routine. And to be honest, when they do show up, they don't really show up. They kind of just half-heartedly show up. You have to be really present with where you are and aware of where your opportunities are. And when you see an opportunity, you have to show up. If you're going to go networking, like, you know, networking is daunting for everyone. And some people think, oh, well, that person makes it so easy. No, that person is showing up. Because if you're going to pay to be there, you really should just be there and be 100%
right.
there. Everyone's busy. You know, meeting new people is always scary. Like, your attitude, you really need to adjust the attitude and be present.
I think that's the good message, is be present, you know, but also strategic, and that's where the happy balance is. Talk to me about the future for you. Like, what's the next year going to be like? What are your game plans? I know you're a planner, so tell me, like, how are you?
The next year is
going to
be unreal. You know, 13 years at Trilogy, and we're going through a very, very interesting change internally. So we're restructuring our offices into teams. So, you know, previously I've kind of been a senior vice president, but really alone running my business. Now I have a four-advisor team that is awesome. But we're also changing platforms. For the 15-plus years Trilogy has been around, we have cleared through one platform, and we're now going to be adding another platform and mostly clearing through that. So there's a lot of transition. So I think this next year is going to be interesting, because it's embracing company changes that we need. You need to change to stay relevant. So these are great changes, but they're also like changing the way that you do everyday business.
Well, and that leads me to a question. It's like, what's maybe one of the hardest challenges as a change factor that you've dealt with this year that you see coming? You know, because I know everybody's changing. Everybody's dealing with, you know, the whole technology platforms, and, you know, everything's immediate now and 24/7. But what's been your biggest challenge that, you know, you've had to kind of look at, or that you think is coming for you that's going to be difficult? What is that, and how are you going to handle it?
Oh, with all of these changes, I have no idea what the biggest challenge is going to be. I can tell you, I think the biggest challenge is that there are three advisors in this office who now essentially answer to me, and that I'm not a manager. I like to think of myself as I lead, but there's a difference between leading and managing. So I need to find a way to bring them into my business in a productive way for them and myself and my clients. So it's that kind of my shift mentally. That'll be my biggest challenge.
I really love that, and I think so many people get mixed up what a leader versus a manager is, but share a little
Different.
Bit more when you said that, because I thought it was beautiful, you know, and that's kind of our mantra in CWI, is the whole idea that, you know, I am a woman who leads. What do you see as the difference between managing versus leading? How do you see the difference? A little more on that.
Well, like as a leader in my company, you know, I've been in the top of the company. I'm a female. There's not as many females in the company. So people kind of look to me for guidance and maybe inspiration, or they call me to see what I'm doing because they, you know, they want to know. And that's leading. So I'm leading by example. Like, they see that I'm doing well. They like it. They tap into that. Versus managing, where now these individuals are a part of that success. They're not just like trying to do it on their own. They're now a part of that team. So it's entirely different. Like, they're not looking to me for inspiration. They're looking to me for success in their own practices. It's different.
Good stuff, girl. Good stuff, girl. Okay, tell me one big thing you're looking to accomplish next year that you are just, you know, it's like a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. What's a big goal for you for next year? And how are you going to meet it?
You know, my BHAG is a personal one because this last year has been a struggle on the health side for absolutely every single member of my immediate family, my husband, my daughter, my son, and myself. We have all had things that we are trying to overcome on the health side. So my big, hairy, audacious goal is to make 2016 much healthier. And we only have about, you know, 4 weeks left to lay that foundation. So we're running for it.
And I know you will, girl. I know you will. Oh, gosh, Wendis. I want to share with all of our listeners again the little tip. All of our Sue Talks videos are going to be up on the website in about a week, which we're excited to have those public and everyone to see the Sue Talks. We are making them available for the world to see, Wendis. I hope you're excited about that. And, again, you did an amazing job. I want to thank you for being on our show today. Thank you to all of our listeners who continue to listen in, even when we do a show that's added to our normal schedule. We're going to be back again with you tomorrow on Friday for our normal scheduled show for Women Lead Radio. And tomorrow I'm interviewing one of our other Sue Talk presenters, Erica De La Cruz, and her Sue Talk was called Dear World. I think half the room was crying at the time when she did her Sue Talk presentation. It was so personal. And Wendis, you did a great job. Thanks again for being on our show. I hope all of you will listen in tomorrow at 2. Erica's Sue Talk was entitled Dear World, signed off by Erica. So I hope all of you will be excited to listen on that. Everyone have a great day. And as we always say at CWI, please go out there and try to support another woman. Have a great day. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.